It's hard for us to imagine waking up to the sound of sirens warning of missiles headed our way, grabbing our children and running into shelters with 100 or more other people who are just as scared as us. That's what's happening in Israel right now. Please join us in praying for the peace and safety of Israel and her people, and that the threat to their lives, to their very existence, would be quickly removed. Join other believers by signing the I Pray for Israel pledge at afa.net.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Tuesday, May the 21st, 2024. There'll never be another one. That's a country song. Ed Battagliano joining me. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Wesley Wildman.
Good morning.
Yes, we're related. Wesley's my oldest son.
And I just feel like I was thinking earlier.
You're still in the wheel.
Still in the wheel.
So
choose my next words wisely.
Well, I'm just saying, that's good.
It's a good thing.
Yeah, it is a good thing.
Yeah. All right, Christopher Woodward. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Timothy.
So, let's see. Ray Pritchard's not here. Ray's usually with us. I think he's off to Oregon, to Cannon Beach on the coast there. That's the name, Beach. And I think that's where he is this week.
Yeah, I think he's going to be doing teaching. He does conferences, a lot of conferences. And we usually tease him this time of year because he will go to places that have beaches. Of course, that's where the conferences are being held. So
he can't help
that. He can't help that. No. It's not his call. But
he would go. And he didn't complain about it.
Yeah.
He would go anywhere, probably.
I think he would. He's been on missions trips and
he goes to Korea a lot,
but that doesn't stop us from teasing him,
right? It shouldn't.
It shouldn't.
I remember
keep him humble.
Many years ago, in the old building in the old studio, we had somebody on that was like a former ambassador to the Bahamas or something like that. And Tim took time in the segment after introducing him. He was like, "Thank you for your dedication, you know, for your service."
Yeah, never got a free trip to the Bahamas out of that deal, though. So
even
I don't
with
know
all
try,
that's a cushy gig if you
even
get it.
With all the compliments.
No, yeah, I tried to butter him up, but I forgot. Hey, I think he was some kind of tourism representative for the Bahamas, which I think they build themselves as a Christian country. I mean, they're a republic or whatever the case may be. Again, thanks for joining us on this Tuesday. So we got a lot to talk about. Dr. Frank Turek will be with us. We always like when Frank drops by. He'll be with us in about, I don't know, 8 or 9 minutes from now. What's a lead story, Chris?
Well, I want to point people to a story Fred Jackson has just posted on our website, which is afn.net. Donald Trump's lawyers rested their defense today without the former president taking the witness stand in his New York money hush money trial. The jury was sent home until May 28th when closing arguments are expected. I bring that up because from time to time you've asked me how much longer is this going to go, and it's looking like it's going to go another week-ish.
Okay, May 28th is a week from today.
Mm-hmm.
So what will happen a week from today?
The jury is going to gather for closing arguments.
Okay, so we hadn't had a closing argument.
We have not. They rested today without Trump taking the stand. Some might say that's a good idea.
Well, all right, so this will be over one way or another a week from, well, what? They'll have the closing arguments a week from today, and then the jury will make a decision.
Right.
Right, Ed?
They'll deliberate. There's no guarantee that it'll be a quick deliberation. Might take a day or two, but I would guess that a week from tomorrow, a week from today would be a Tuesday. I guess before the end of the week, we'll have a decision in that trial.
Definitely a decision before the debates, the first debate between he and President Biden there, which is in late June.
June 27th,
All right, so I will give President Trump kudos for something totally unrelated to the trial. Whoever gave him a haircut did a great job. I got to tell you. Have you seen this?
Oh, I'm looking at it right now.
I have seen
it. You're right.
Have you noticed this, Wes?
Yes.
It's a much needed haircut.
Yeah,
it is.
And he looks dapper.
He went to the Magic Sam's.
Yeah, and you rarely see him sporting a gold tie.
Yeah,
he's got a gold tie.
He's got a little bit of a different look.
Yeah,
what we're looking at is FoxNews.com. Their lead story is what Chris just shared with us. They've got the same one. They have their image here too. You never know, though. I assume this image is from the.
It's today, this, I think, yeah. Or today or yesterday. Yes. Anyway, so this trial will be over and decided in the next 8-9 days.
Well, okay. Then, which trial is it that could potentially go into after the election? Was there no?
That was the
Georgia.
Anybody? I have an answer to that.
Go ahead.
Documents trial in Florida, which is a federal case. I'm about to sneeze. So, Ed, over to you.
Okay. Well, so that is the case involving the documents that were stored at Mar-a-Lago. That is a federal case.
I think the federal judge there who's overseeing this case, that case that Ed just mentioned, is going to, I think that's going to go post-election. Don't you? Okay. Isn't that way it
sounds? They pushed it back.
Yeah, because they still have the Georgia case going on. I mean, we're talking about the both conventions, July and August, Republican and Democratic Party conventions. That's just right around the corner. Yeah. I don't know how they could get that. And then once the conventions are done, you're talking about a number of just months before the election. So
the J6, January 6th case.
Also federal.
I don't know when that's on the docket. So, does that help you, Wesley?
Yes, that helps a lot. I do. There needs to be a couple. We need a couple more. The more we get, the
more trials.
Yeah, the more trials, the more his number. What it was, 22%. Did y'all see that? There's 22% of the African Americans say they're going to vote for him. This.
I would be stunned if that happened.
Yeah,
but he is picking up.
It was 9%. His first go around, it's 22% now, so we'll see. But my point is, for whatever reason, when he goes to trial, his numbers go up.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of numbers, he outraised Joe Biden last month, $76 million to $51 million. So these trials and the verdicts thrown down by the court of public opinion on Donald Trump have not appeared to hurt his political case thus far.
Which I will say is a little surprising to me. This probably shows the depth of support amongst those who are his greatest fans. Talking about former President Donald Trump, because I had been wondering whether his need for money to pay his attorneys might chill the giving. The donations to his campaign, because a lot of people would think, well, I don't want to give to his campaign. He's just going to be paying his lawyers. But the fact that he outraised President Biden in April indicates to me that the people who support him they have his back kind of thing. So now I don't know what happens after the conventions when you're trying to draw money from people who are undecideds. How the fundraising will go, but
somebody's undecided.
Fox always finds that one guy in a sweater vest.
Somebody's undecided.
Yeah,
somebody hasn't made up their mind.
They found 12 impartial people for this trial. You know,
couple dynamics going on here, and that favor former president. One is sympathy from a lot of the American people. Sympathy in the sense that they view. Some of this legal action against him as unfair, just fundamentally unfair. And so do you think I'm right about that?
Yeah, no, I think that's part of it.
Okay. So I think that's part of it. The second part, I think, that's benefiting former President Trump. Well, the haircut. I mentioned the haircut. I think that's
it is nice.
The gold time.
Nice.
Looks like he's lost a few pounds.
That's worth 3 to 4 points right there. The haircut, but I do think that Biden is so bad.
Yeah,
Joe Biden is so bad a candidate,
right?
Like in really, really, really bad, that people, they may not be fans of Trump, but they're going Trump Biden. I'm going Trump.
I think it's more likely that Biden just doesn't get a turnout. I think a lot of that. This is my Wesley's opinion here. I think a lot of people that would have otherwise voted Democrat just not going to vote. I think the turnout for Democrat vote is just going to be at an all time low.
Okay, gotcha. I am not enthusiastic.
I'm going to admit to being. I think that I'm wrong on something.
Okay.
Now I say that all the time at my house, okay, but here on the show I don't say that very often. But right. When the primaries for the Republican nomination were still in their infancy, okay, we still had Nikki Haley, we still had Ron DeSantis, okay, it was kind of, I said on the air, and I believe this, I said if Ron DeSantis gets the nomination, the election will be about Biden. If President Trump gets the nomination for the Republicans, the election will be about President Trump. I think I was wrong about that. Some of it will be about President Trump. But to your point, Tim, I think this election may still be about Joe Biden.
Yeah.
Because he is so bad. And the economy is so bad, and the anxieties of the American people run so deep in terms of the border, the potential for world war in Europe, and all those kinds of things, homelessness in the big cities, crime.
Also his cognitive decline.
Yes, his cognitive decline. I think this election is still going to be about Joe Biden and just how terrible he is.
Yeah. I found the story that I saw earlier this morning, and I'll share the link with you, Chris, here in just a second. Because I can't do two things at once. Just ask my wife. I can't do that. So we're just going to read this off here. It's a poll on Fox News, and it says 22% Trump's support among black voters has more than doubled to 22% compared to in 2020. Biden, meanwhile, saw a 12% drop. Though he still holds a 47-point lead. Point is, he's still, the Democrats and Joe Biden will still get the overwhelming majority of the black vote. But the point is that they're making is that, and their polling showing that it's doubled by Trump's support as of their vote that then has doubled this time in their last election.
Yeah.
Which we all know, just a fraction of the African American community going Republican is huge.
It would be,
especially in the swing states.
Yeah, unemployment under Trump for black people was much lower than it is and has ever been under Joe Biden.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
Now I can send you the story.
Okay.
Yes. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Joining us now is Dr. Frank Turek. From North Carolina, host of Cross Examined, heard each weekend here on American Family Radio, Cross Examined, the radio program. He's heard 9 a.m. Central Time.
On Saturdays.
And joining us now from North Carolina. Frank, good morning.
Gentlemen, you might be forgetting that once Joe Biden unveils his new campaign slogan at the convention, he's going to win.
And what is that slogan?
Well, according to the Babylon Bee, it's death to America.
Oh, man.
Oh.
Well played, sir. Well played.
Well played.
Oh, man. It's funny, but it ain't funny.
No, it's true.
That's true.
All right. So which college campus was the latest one you visited?
Oh, what was the latest one? Let's see. We were up at Boise State in Idaho. And Idaho's voting today, apparently. Did I see that?
Voting on what?
It is primary day in several states.
It's primary day in Idaho because, you know, the jury's still out as to who the nominees would be. So they have to vote.
Yeah.
What did you say, Tim? The excitement builds?
And the excitement builds in Idaho.
We do have a dedicated listener that watches our show and comments from the great state of Idaho.
Idaho?
All right.
Well, they'll probably be voting today.
It is. It's Idaho primary day, May 21st.
Okay.
Well, there are other things to vote for. It's not just president. So get out there and vote, you know.
Like what?
Well, they're state representatives.
Well, that's true.
It's not just all about the feds, you know.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So Boise State University. Okay, I got a question for you, Frank. Yeah. Your ministry focuses a lot on Christian apologetics.
That's right.
And I wanted to ask you, one of the fundamental things you've written on and spoke on over the decades is atheism, right?
Yes, yes.
So I wanted to ask you, you know, atheism is it as simple as someone who does not believe in a supernatural being at all, a divine being at all? Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, traditionally it's always been that. In about the past decade, there have been some atheists saying, well, I'm not saying there's no God, I just lack a belief in God, which is really a cop-out, because to say you just lack a belief in God is simply saying something about your psychological state. It's not saying anything about whether or not God exists. So whenever somebody says, I just lack a belief in God, I simply just ask them this question. Here's the question. Okay, here's the proposition. God exists. Do you agree with that? Do you disagree with that? Or don't you know? If you agree with that, you're a theist. If you disagree with that, you're an atheist. If you don't know, you're an agnostic. It's simple. So stop trying to hide behind, I just lack a belief in God. If I lack a belief in, say, evolution, does that mean that I've given a case that evolution is false? No, I haven't given a case at all. I just say I lack a belief in it. You've got to give evidence for what you believe, not just say I lack a belief or I hold a belief.
All right, so... Logically, I can understand how someone might say, I don't know.
Sure.
When you say, or they might say, someone might say, you know, I believe in some kind of higher power, but I don't know who that is. Mm-hmm. Would that be an agnostic?
Well, that would be somebody is an agnostic about Christianity, because they don't know whether Jesus has risen from the dead or not and is God. But that might be something. I believe in a higher power. I just can't define what that higher power is. Whenever people say that, I always ask them, A, why do you believe that? And then B, have you investigated what that higher power might be? Because, you know, I know a lot of people, Tim, and this has happened on college campuses quite a bit, they come out swinging against the Christian God, and as soon as you ask them, well, how much reading have you done? Have you really investigated the Christian God? Turns out they've never even read the Bible. And so what they're believing is a caricature of the Bible. They haven't investigated the evidence at all. And so I think sometimes just asking them, how much have you pursued this question? And most of the time the answer is not very much.
Frank, let's say that I am one of those students on a college campus. I identify as a 20-year-old on a college campus, okay? And I'm there. I say what you just said. A lot of these students say, no, I don't believe in Christianity, but no, I also have not done much study on it. So tell me the three books you would suggest that I read in order to research this issue. Now, I'm guessing that one of them would be your own book, at least one of them. I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. I want to put words in your mouth. You might have something else than that, but name three books that you'd tell me to read to begin that investigation.
If they were really open to it, I would suggest Mere Christianity, certainly by C.S. Lewis. That's a classic.
Right.
I might also recommend a book my friend J. Warner Wallace wrote called Cold Case Christianity. That's an excellent book. And then any book by Lee Strobel. Lee writes great books. He interviews the best scholars out there and makes them understandable. So those would be three I certainly would recommend. And, of course, I'd recommend mine because I tried to argue from the Christianity from the ground up, from does truth exist all the way to the Bible is the word of God. And that is, I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. And by the way, I have a new one as well. I don't know if you've heard. It's called 10 Steps to Humility and How I Made It in 7.
That's funny.
Hey, I have a question.
Hey, it's very humble of me. Yeah, I actually made it in six.
Yeah.
All right.
I have a question for the people out there, younger, older, who feel they don't like to read, or they may not have time to read. Are there also some videos or something online from those gentlemen that you mentioned or others?
Yeah, dumb it down for us, Frank. Those who don't want to read.
Oh, those who don't want to read.
Correct.
That's what Chris is really asking.
Well, first of all, you know,
we have a lot of kids.
Yeah, okay. We have a lot of videos on our YouTube channel. It's over 2,100 videos, and many of them are short Q&A videos from college campus events. So they can do searches on our YouTube channel, cross-examine YouTube channel. And not only do we have entire I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist presentations, but they can get the shorter Q&As on there. We also teach online courses at crossexamine.org. So if they want to have somebody kind of walk them through this visually rather than having to do a lot of reading, they can take the I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist online course. Or there's, of course, audiobooks too and podcasts. Mm-hmm. I mean, our podcast and our radio program right here on the American Family Radio Network, we deal with these issues all the time. Mm-hmm. So they could be listening a lot. But I got to go back to what I heard many, many years ago, and that is you cannot be a leader if you're not a reader. Mm-hmm. You've got to read, because reading requires you to really think. You're not as easily manipulated by visuals. Mm-hmm. And reading allows you to go into depth on issues that you really can't get in just a video presentation in most cases.
Hey, Frank, this is Wesley here. By the way, thank you for those comments. I'm going to change subjects just a little bit here. Mm-hmm. So when you think about the word religion, you've got Christianity, you've got Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism. However, it seems to me over the last couple of years, there are other things that are not necessarily, for many people, considered a religion, but from all practical purposes are. And an example of that, and I want to get your comments on it, and just to see if you agree, but the LGBTQ movement seems to me like a religion for them, and they like to practice theirs and they're trying to do everything they can to develop or to create a society or an atmosphere that is built around that. Whereas for a Christian, we would want the biblical morals or consider natural law into play. So would you consider the LGBT movement over the last couple of years a religion, so to speak?
Well, it does have religious elements to it. And what I mean by that, a religious element would be sort of an ultimate commitment.
Okay.
Right. And even the Supreme Court many years ago declared secular humanism a religion because it gives people an ultimate commitment.
Okay.
There's some it's something that they find meaning in, that they're going to put at their top of their priority list. What we would call as Christians is that would be an idol if it's not God.
Mm.
Right. If there's something other than God that's at the top of your priority list that you're giving an ultimate commitment to, that would be an idol. That would be a religion. That would be something that's your top priority. So, yeah, it certainly has religious elements to it because it asks for ultimate commitment. Everything must be put on a lower realm of importance than their political or personal or moral crusade.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio. Dr. Frank Turek joining us. What you got coming up on Saturday? Do you know yet?
Saturday, yeah, we're going to be Sunday. Talking with Shanda Fulbright, who teaches some online courses for us. She actually now lives in South Carolina, but came out of California where she was a public school teacher. And we're going to talk about the fact that someone is always discipling your kids. The question is, who is it? It might be their iPhone. It might be TikTok. It might be Instagram. It might be their public school system. Is it you? And are you providing enough of a counterweight to those things to make a bigger difference?
All right, join Frank Saturday at 9 a.m. Central Time right here on this radio station, American Family Radio. Excellent show, cross-examined. And then Sunday, if you miss Saturday, you got Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock Central Time right here on American Family Radio. Dr. Frank Turek with the radio program Cross Examined. All right, Frank, take care. Thank you.
God bless you guys. See
okay.
you.
Thanks, Frank.
All right, well, we're going to be back. in a couple of minutes with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Dave, stay with us.
I'd like to take a minute and have a heart-to-heart with you. If you're able, place your hand over your heart. Can you feel it? My strong heartbeat reminds me that I'm alive. See, it's the same for an unborn baby. Their heart begins to form at conception and at just 3 weeks is already beating. At 5 weeks, a baby's heartbeat can be heard on ultrasound. That's where Preborn steps in, rescuing 200 babies every day from abortion simply by providing a mother with a free ultrasound and allowing her to hear her child's heartbeat and see their perfectly formed body in the womb. By 6 weeks, eyes are forming. By 10 weeks, a baby is able to suck his or her thumb. Preborn needs our help to save these precious souls. For just $28, you could be the difference between the life or death of a baby. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. If you want to send us an email, as long as it's positive and encouraging, okay, it needs to be a K-Love email, then you can send that to comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. Ed, is there an alternative email address for negative and discouraging emails?
Yeah, that would be T. Wildman.
You know what? We actually could probably create one just for that. That way people can vent, get it out right there.
Yeah.
They can hit send, right. Say, I sent it.
Yeah.
I would
but
say
nobody's going to look at it.
Like we care at afr.net.
The phone number is 867-5309.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Like we care.
Like we care at AFR.
Oh, that's funny.
At AFR.net. Huh? What, Wes? Do you want to take them?
Nope. I'm good. I do have something to add here, but I don't want to mess up the flow here. But y'all go ahead. You finish.
Flow?
You finish.
You think there's a flow?
Flowing backwards.
Yeah.
All right. So, no, if people want to send us email, comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net is our address.
And before we go to Chris and the stories, I do want to mention for our listening audience that we have several events coming up, and I want you to know about them. I'm going to hit them briefly, but if you go to afa.net/events, all the details of the dates and the times and the locations and all those are there. The three events we have coming up this summer during the month of June, we have Men of Honor, that we will host at our headquarters here. It's a discipleship training program for young men ages 7 to 17. Please go to afa.net/events if you want to register for that. If you live within driving distance of our headquarters, there's a curriculum for that as well. If you don't live close by, you can take the curriculum and do it in your community. Also, we have AFA at the Arc coming up October 31st and through November 2nd. All the details are at afa.net.
What Arc is that?
AFA at the Arc. Yeah. Oh, AFA at the Arc is the are you seriously asking?
Some people might.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. There's a massive replica, a life-size replica of the Arc.
It's a replica?
Is that the wrong word?
Well, no, that's the right word. I was just I was under the impression this was the original that was
no.
restored, huh?
No, you got misled by somebody somewhere, or you weren't listening.
Yeah, well, that, you know, that's happened before.
You weren't listening.
Yeah, once
weren't
or twice.
Williamstown, Kentucky, Answers in Genesis has created a theme park museum built around the Ark. Around the Ark Encounter.
What they've done is they recreated the Ark as best they could based on what the scriptures say about how the Ark was built, right?
And AFA will have some speakers there.
We'll have our speakers there. We'll tour it together, and several of the staff members and leadership from AFA are going there. And we're inviting you to go with us to tour it. We're also including the Creation Museum as well as part of that weekend trip.
Where is it? And that's outside of Cincinnati, right?
That's right. Yes,
sir. Kentucky.
And all the details of the date and time. And we're inviting you to come apart. There's limited seating. We're only taking 200 people. And so go to afa.net/events to register your family. The kids would, if you have kids or grandchildren, they would love it. Also, just around the corner on June 6th, we have our fifth episode of AFA at Home, where Dad, Ed, Walker, and many others on staff, Abe Hamilton III, they are going to discuss the LGBT issue and how we can handle it, both with courage and compassion. And you can find that by going to afa.net/events and register to be a part of it on June 6th at 6 p.m. is when that will be released. So all those events you can go check out again at afa.net/events.
I will say this one thing on the Men of Honor. Now, of course, like as you said, this that here in Tupelo, where our flagship station is and our headquarters, that's mostly a local event. But what Wesley has done and others is, folks, they when he mentioned this curriculum, you can do this in your church or your community, and this is happening a lot because people realize there are a lot of these young men who don't have fathers in the home, they don't have that influence, and they are taught. What are some of the things they're taught if they want to get this curriculum? What are some of the ideas they might teach? How to change a flat tire, that kind of thing.
There's two sections of the teaching. We have the scripture side of the teaching, and there's topics that we discuss. We go over the gospel explicitly. Right. We go over forgiveness. We go over courage. These are the types of handling hardships.
Right.
Those are the Bible lessons and the topics and the scriptures that we handle. The second side of it, we have a teaching side where we learn life skills. The skills would be, like you mentioned, some would be how to apply for a job resume, how to car maintenance, yard maintenance, even had to prepare food for yourself because in some cases, a lot of these young men, their moms are single moms,
right?
And so their moms are working, and a lot of times they're left at home, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. That or they have little oversight, and so anyways, there's reasons why we teach the things we do. This year, we're going to add one in that's not in the curriculum, but you can do because you can modify it, and that's going to be gun safety.
Oh, good.
And so we're adding gun safety. So these are the types of things. The curriculum is as detailed as you want to follow it.
Right.
But it also leaves room for creativity if you want to change one week from the next. So it's for somebody that just needs you to tell them what to do. It's even got a description of what you can tell volunteers that come, what you can expect. You can copy and paste the expectations of people volunteering. That's all in the curriculum.
It is a great program. I would like to volunteer Tim to come for the yard maintenance section, you know, because he's really not into yard maintenance.
No, he's got a lot of experience, though, from sitting on the back porch watching mom do it. So he's got the knowledge.
I'm just going to let my actions speak for themselves. I'm not going to defend myself. I don't think it's necessary.
Will not defend himself.
Okay? That's right.
Are you guys done?
Yeah, we're done.
We're doing
your ministry?
Yeah.
With your ministry.
Huh? Yes. All right, you're listening to Beat Up Tim on American Family Radio. All right, Chris, what is your next story?
Well, President Wildman recently issued an executive order for me to bring in more happy news.
Yes,
and so I'm following through with that mandate because I value my job in this economy.
Yes.
I have here a story which I just posted on our Facebook page. It's about a school district in Southern California, having to compensate a teacher who was fired for not going along with the school district's so-called transgender policies. The teacher's name is Jessica Tapia, if I pronounce that correctly. She taught phys ed at Jurupa Valley High School in Riverside County, which is part of the Unified School District there. That is, until she was let go last year for, quote, hypothetically, in statements to district personnel, refusing to call students by their preferred pronouns and refusing to allow them to use the restroom or locker room of their choice. She also refused to keep this information secret from parents, which we know is what a lot of schools have been doing here, across the country. So the good news here, Christian teacher Stan really paid off. She was fired, but they have agreed to compensate her. And I have the story, which I just posted on our Facebook page. Our new reporter, Bronson Woodruff, actually spoke to one of Jessica's attorneys at Advocates for Faith and Freedom. And I've got a bit of audio here from Bethany Onoshinko, clip 6.
This just sends a message that teachers with religious beliefs are welcome in the public school system, and they can't be shut out of the public system just because of their religious beliefs. You know, over the last 3 years, 3 or 4 years, we've kind of seen these LGBTQ ideologies just explode, and they're being pushed more than they've ever been pushed before, including in our public school system.
Okay, so to review, what we have here, we have a public school teacher in the state of California, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she was confronted or told, okay, you got to call a girl a boy if they want to be called that on that day, right?
Correct.
Is that right?
Correct.
And then you got to let them into the showers, yep. And the you got to pretend like they're a boy, mm-hmm. pretend like they're a girl so they can go in and hang out with the girls.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
Spot on.
Okay, so the teacher who happens to be a Christian, I would say it's a Christian. It was a teacher who believes in
common sense
and science.
Yes, right. Sir,
okay,
yeah.
Who happens to be a Christian, and behavior around the world in all of human history. That is the separation of the sexes for certain things, like restrooms, changing areas, often sports teams. I mean, this is common sense. So the Christian teacher said, I'm not going to call Bill Sally, and I'm not going to call Bill by whatever his pronoun preference is. Mm-hmm. I'm calling him Billy. I'm calling him him, or that's
and
it.
No, you can't go in women's locker.
Right, and you're not going in the girls' showers, Billy. And the school said, we're disciplining you. Did they fire her?
Yes.
Okay, they fired her. They fired her. What was her name?
Jessica Tapia.
So Jessica said, you know what? This is not right. I'm going to get a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
So she hired
Advocates for Faith and Freedom.
Okay, who may have done the work pro bono. I don't know. If we can get a lawyer on from that.
I can work with
Are the teacher herself. I'd love to have her on the radio.
She was awarded lawyer's fees, mm-hmm. for them.
Okay. Yeah, and I do want to point that out because sometimes these.
But she won.
She did.
She won the case, which is great news. Go ahead.
She's going to get $285,000 plus an additional $75,000 for the attorney's fees.
Now,
I bring that up because sometimes.
A lot of those Christian law firms that fight for religious, mm-hmm. liberty, they represent someone for free.
Right.
But if they win,
right.
they do ask for the lawyer's fees,
right.
to help continue to fund their work.
But this is a good news story because this is a Christian teacher, or a teacher happens to be a Christian, who stood up for the right thing, and the court awarded her, which I was surprised in the state of California because they got a lot of whacked out liberals out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Agenda push. Was this a federal court or a state court? Or
state.
State court. Okay. Well, good for her.
Yeah. And I do, you know, shameless plug, that was our story.
But the school agreed to it.
Yes.
The school agreed to pay her the money, and they're not going to keep on trying to go after her like they've tried to go after, with their friend Jack Phillips out in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the forest out there.
I do want to point people to something. It's a resource that Advocates for Faith and Freedom offers now. Talking about how Jessica here was, she was expected to keep this information secret from parents, something she, again, refused to do. Advocates for Faith and Freedom is involved in a lot of those kinds of cases where teachers and other school employees are expected to keep things on the down low. Advocates for Faith and Freedom has a resource out now called Teachers Don't Lie Initiative. And it's meant to be a legal resource for teachers to come and just learn about their rights or ask us any legal questions they may have. So we might have another story about another Jessica in these United States of America at some point in the not too distant future.
All right. So that is a good news story. And as you said, that was from American Family News.
Yes.
Tell our listeners really quickly how they can get that kind of news.
Yes. American Family News is the news outlet for American Family Association and American Family Radio. We exist in two ways. We have radio news and we have print news. AFN is where much of what you hear on the radio ends up as print articles on AFN.net. But we have a ton of stuff also available on AFN. So do check us out for things like Associated Press articles. We have videos. There's a column or two every day, even a political cartoon.
And, Dad, you encourage people not to read. So where can they go if they don't want to read?
Yeah, well, for you dumbed down Americans, you can go watch.
Oh, sorry, wouldn't encourage me.
We do offer a video news update now for people that want the video, you know, told to them.
Actually, yeah. People want to watch videos. People are going to watch videos. Better than nothing. And, you know, it takes a lot of effort, time, and to read a lot. I used to read a lot. But not so much anymore.
Well, this is why we have
short
AFN.
Right.
For people who don't have the time to read a lot.
I need 1,000 words or less.
They do it.
That's a good point.
For them.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
I don't want to turn this in the right direction there, Ed.
That's right.
Appreciate you.
Pretty soon we'll have some kind of GI chat that reads the news for them.
Yes. There are.
GI chat.
Is that AI chat?
There's already robots that you can watch. You can pull up and watch like a robotic voice newscast on YouTube.
I want that.
Steve
can't
found,
get enough of that robotic voice, right?
Steve found one years ago, and we still laugh about it because oftentimes when you read a senator's title in print, it'll say, like, for example, Senator Ben Sasse, this was several years ago, Senator Ben Sasse R. Nebraska,
yeah.
Or R, you know, NEB or something like that. And I bring up Sasse specifically because the video, again, Steve found years ago, was this robot, and it was telling a story like this, and it said, Senator Ben Sasse, R-Nab, and it kept going.
R-Nab.
R-Nab. And we laughed about that and still do.
Hey, I'm thinking about buying me a NFL jersey of mm-hmm. the Kansas City Kicker.
Good luck finding think? One.
The other's Butker. Sold out. Mm-hmm. Harrison.
Harrison Butker, the kicker. I'm thinking about getting me a jersey.
I knew of the story, but I didn't realize how it's been ongoing. Like, it just wasn't a one-day story.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to someone over the weekend, and they purchased the jersey. But well, I didn't realize
it's the number one selling jersey in America.
I didn't realize that. But, yeah, so maybe I need to get one.
Well, I've never bought an NFL jersey before, but I'm about to buy one, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know how much it is. What is it?
We're allowed on Fridays here, since it's a little bit more casual than the other days, although right. we're pretty casual. But on Fridays, you can wear team jerseys.
You can.
Tip.
So,
you can wear it on a Friday.
I'm not particularly a Kansas City Chiefs fan. I don't have anything against them. They're a great team. But that's
boycott, though.
But in this case, I'd be supporting Harrison.
Yep.
Butker, how much, if I go on the internet and buy one of these, Chris, can you look it up and see how much I can buy one for?
I bet it's,
I'm guessing.
I'm going to say
$185,
I something
bet.
Like that. What do you say?
It up now.
I would imagine he'd get some type of royalty.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Percentage.
Yeah.
So good for him. Sure. That's a financial support.
Yeah, I'm sure he does.
I do have something to add here. By the way, his jersey can be bought for $129.99. According to a CBS
Where?
News article
something
a couple
like
days
ago. Amazon or something? Well, you don't know.
Chiefs Pro Shop.
Chiefs Pro Shop?
Yeah. There's.
Yeah.
Am I allowed to say some of these things?
Well, I found, people are going to search.
Okay. There's an Arkansas-based retailer that's selling it for less than $100, supposedly.
Yeah. Well, but anyway, I don't want to recommend or not recommend places because people need to do their own research because they might get, an off-brand.
Just to bring
off.
Yeah.
Isn't that what they call it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why are you coming this
you're
close?
You're going to get a jersey that's going to say you're going to get a knockoff that's going to say Kansas City Chefs.
Yeah. That's it.
Couldn't afford the money to put the eye in there.
This looks.
I'm looking at what Ed's looking at. Go
yeah,
ahead.
This looks like it says Kansas City Chief official Chiefs Pro Shop. Fanatics experience. Okay, so Fanatics is, I know, like for hockey, you want to get a
professional sports jersey.
Yeah, yeah, you get a professional sports jersey. So this is not, you know, a ripoff or a scam website you know, where you're going to get sleeves are going to come off.
So if you're a retail store and you sell LGBTQ items like Target, they don't sell, your profits go down and you have to replace it.
Right.
But if you have Butker's jerseys, wherever they are, they're selling.
Mm. Yeah.
They're going up.
Hey, you called it a boycott.
Call it a boycott.
I do have something to relate to this discussion. Just before the show, I don't have the audio. Stay tuned because I'm going to have this story on AFN.net, shameless plug. I talked just before the show with Attorney General Andrew Bailey of Missouri. He's one of the people upset.
He rocks.
Yes. Yes.
By the way.
He does.
Huh?
But I spoke with him because he has been demanding the mayor of Kansas City turn over all documents, records, and communications relating to his office's ex post retaliating against Butker over the comments he made at that graduation speech. Andrew Bailey says they're still looking for those documents. If they don't get them from the mayor and other city officials, they are going to sue. A lot of people there were upset with him over the speech. Some people were even trying to put his home address out there online.
Didn't they do that?
Yes.
The city of Kansas City?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, Missouri or Kansas.
It's Kansas City.
Which.
So they doxed the official?
Yeah.
The city doxed them?
Yes.
Yeah, they said it was unintentional, I think, mm-hmm. but I don't think that's...
Who believes that?
The internet's forever.
I don't believe that. So anyway, what the guy said was not controversial.
He's a Catholic. Yeah, he was speaking at a Catholic college,
right.
teaching Catholic doctrine.
Right.
Right.
And you have all these people losing their minds.
Yes.
Hair on fire.
Warning fired.
Yes.
Yeah.
Get rid of him.
We know Patricia Heaton put out that video taking up for him, saying it's his opinion. He's entitled to it. I don't have a problem.
And she was a working mom.
Right. And he didn't say it's evil for a woman to have a job.
No.
He was saying the rewards of marriage and having children out are, that's what a lot of women aspire to, and that's right. something to be or something to be held up in high esteem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There was also, I think, lost in the attention of the speech. He also gave men some solid advice for marriage, staying true to your wife, just advice for men in general. Which is,
the
I
horror.
Think, clearly lacking.
Really what they're upset about, too, is he was pointing out, he's a Catholic, and he was pointing out the hypocrisy of Joe Biden in particular, because he said Joe Biden had the audacity to go and, if that's the word he said, I'm kind of paraphrasing, to go to an abortion mill and make the sign of the cross, as Catholics do, and here's one Catholic calling out another.
That's right.
Basically calling him a phony Catholic.
Right.
So people don't like that. But, a lot of lefties don't like that either.
But we just live in such a hostile time to the exchanging of ideas.
Right.
I mean, this guy, he's not representing, he's not speaking on behalf of the NFL. He's not speaking on behalf of the Kansas City Chiefs. This guy's in the offseason on his own time.
Yeah.
He was asked and invited.
Right.
He was invited.
Yeah.
They didn't have to invite him. They could have invited anybody else.
And like you said, all he did was reinforce the Catholic teaching on the subject.
Catholic campus.
And he did touch some of the other sacred cows, though.
Okay.
He did mention that – he did mention pride – having pride in the right things. He was talking about he's proud of his wife, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, not the deadly kind of pride that comes up every June. He's talking about Pride Month.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. So that's touching the sacred cow of the LGBTQ community.
It goes beyond,
feminist sacred cow.
Hurt your little feelings?
Yes. Hurt people's feelings.
Oh,
and then they basically are saying, you know, Catholics are not allowed to believe anything we don't like. They're not allowed to say anything we don't like, and they're not to really allowed to go anywhere we don't like. We'll tell you what you can believe, say, and do.
Listen, he had a speech. I think it's over, by the way. It's over as far as a real ongoing controversy. Kansas City Chiefs basically said he's free to say what he wants to. And
we don't agree, they said.
What now?
Chief said, we don't agree with with what he said. Am I right about that? They said, we don't agree with what he said, but he's free.
Let me double check.
It was either the NFL or the Chiefs.
No, it was the NFL who said we don't agree.
Okay.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
I said corrected.
I don't know if the Kansas City Chiefs issued a comment. I do know the daughter of the owner, who is a well-known person, her name, Hunt, H-U-N-T. Yep. She was on Fox News supporting him in his comments, basically.
Good for her.
And the NFL, they had their little diversity and inclusion people.
That's right. That's what I saw. It's like, why are they commenting on a guy on his own?
They had their little diversity and inclusion office, and they had to have something to do. So they.
That's
said,
exactly. You know,
Coach Andy Reid also defended Harrison Butker.
He beat me too.
But it is funny how the left, the media, they just love to try to push actual Christians to the fringe. So Newsweek headline, thousands sign Christian petition condemning Harrison Butker's remarks. And then on
what
NPR.
What kind of Christian would condemn him?
I know. Exactly. Well, they're going to find him. Mm-hmm. They're going to find, quote unquote, self-identified Christians. And then NPR headline, Benedictine College nuns denounce Harrison Butker's speech at their school.
Yeah.
So probably two of them.
So so the mainstream media is going to they're going to crawl over one another try to find
all the while you can't buy his jersey. It's being sold out.
Yes.
Well, meanwhile, we have an arrest every day of an NFL player beating up a woman.
That's right.
Or drunk driving or drugs
or sex trafficking,
huh?
Yeah,
I mean the thuggery,
right?
On the in the NFL it's almost weekly.
Yeah,
that you see. Now I know we're talking about a lot of people here, okay?
Right.
Now and
they're not all thugs.
A vast majority of NFL players are fine citizens. I'm just saying they got enough problems,
right.
With behavior that is criminal, that to take time out to comment on Harrison Butker's speech at a Catholic school, the NFL I'm talking about,
right,
where they their little diversity and inclusion people had to have something to do last Wednesday. We'll be back after the timeout. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.